Welcome to the Focus Today podcast with Perry Atkinson.
Well, welcome back. And the fallout from the president's declaration over the weekend continues. And I'm delighted to have with us today Pastor Jim Staley. He's the director of Passion for Truth Ministry. He has a master's degree in theology, working towards his PhD. Congratulations. And in addition to writing a book about a recent discovery made in Israel. By the way, he does have a website, passionfortruth.com. And there's a picture of the landing page. Check it out, passionfortruth.com. Pastor Staley, good to see you, friend. How are you?
Matt, very good. It's so good to be on your show this morning, Perry.
You bet. Where are you? Where are we Skyping you in from?
We are outside of St. Louis area.
Ah, okay. Well, welcome to the West.
I've been all over the place. I've been on 10 shows in the last 24 hours. And the last one just before you, they were mentioning snow. I'm like, where in the world are you? And they were in northern Iowa. We had massive storms come through the Midwest this morning, last night.
Well, we have a little spring tease going on, so we're enjoying it.
Yeah.
Jim, a lot to talk to you about in a short amount of time. What was your take of the president declaring Easter Sunday Transgender Visibility Day? Now, I realize that day's been selected before, but it did fall on Easter, but the president went the extra mile in declaring it. What's your take?
Yeah, my take is the White House, the liberal media, is trying to backpedal and spin this and basically make the proclamation that, yeah, it was a coincidence. But what they're not telling the American public or the Christian public is they already have over a dozen days designated throughout the year, even a coming out of the closet day, and they have two full months dedicated to their, quote, honor. This was unneeded. This was unprecedented. And no other president has honored this day except for Biden. And this was a choice. He chose to do this knowing that it would be in the front of 65% of Americans that consider themselves Christian, that celebrate Easter, that believe the resurrection is important, foundation of our faith. So I believe that the White House is trying to backpedal a little here, but it was very, very offensive. Now, I know that there is a massive movement of Christians around the world that are going back to the original roots of their faith, where the early Christians celebrated the resurrection through Passover and the original feast days of the Lord. But for those that are celebrating Resurrection Sunday on Easter here in the United States, this was just an affront, and not just to Christians. But if you know your history, pastors like myself and the previous guests, who really enjoyed that segment, by the way, we were the ones that were encouraging the farmers and the lay people to join the war of independence. If it wasn't for the religious folks that were encouraging the common folk to get involved in politics, if you will, and take back our country, we wouldn't have America today. So in my opinion, what the president did was he stepped on the blood of the graves of every Christian that's ever lived and every person that loves this country, because this country was built off the Judeo-Christian value system. Thus, on every courthouse, right, we have the Ten Commandments and Moses and so on and so forth. So going against the fabric of our nation has never worked out for any superpower. They've always fallen when they leave, quote, their first love, to quote a scripture out of Revelation.
There's a couple things in addition to this. Open blasphemy. This is the forcing of the American people to bow down to the golden image. And the list goes on and on and on and on. Do we have the fortitude to stand against this?
Absolutely. Are we taught to stand down? Yes. As a matter of fact, I'm probably one of the very few, pastors, ministries out there, although there's a very growing number of us that are getting rid of our nonprofit status so that we have no ties to the government at all. And we go back to just doing Bible things in Bible ways, utilizing our right of freedom of speech. And I really try to encourage pastors across the globe, really the United States mainly, start getting into this. You don't have to get into politics per se, but you cannot separate politics from your life. Like, we're all voting. That's proof that you can't separate your faith from what you do. My Bible tells me in the book of James that show me your faith without works, and I'll show you my faith by what I do. And one of the reasons why America is in the problem that it is because Christians have remained silent on every issue. And this is why God makes a very, very clear proclamation in 1 Chronicles 7:14. He says, if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves. He doesn't say if the Obama administration or the Democrats or the liberals, he says it's y'all's fault. It's my people's fault, because if you guys are actually walking a righteous life and not compromising, then my power walks through you and you become the head and not the tail. Well, we're the tail and not the head, and that tells us that we're the ones at fault here. And so I really feel like Christians, we need to stop pointing fingers and start looking at, okay, what are we doing wrong? Because my Bible says we're the head.
Well said. Well said. I will say this, that the nonsense of this culture seems to be hitting a wall, and even non-believers are saying something's really wrong here. Man has really messed it up in our network. Maybe you heard me say that earlier, but in our network, we're getting simple questions like, is there really a God? Does he really love people? Is there really a heaven? I mean, those are basic questions that deals with Ecclesiastes saying that in the heart of every man, God puts eternity. So people are thinking that all of a sudden, this doesn't make sense, it's wrong, it's against nature, nature's God, is there a God and does he love me? Do you think we see the hour to redeem what we allowed to fall through our fingers?
Absolutely. You know, I'm a big history guy, and when you look at history, there are two major things that happen. Whenever something really, really negative happens, where a bad king comes into power, a bad prime minister, bad leader in everything from local government to church, it doesn't matter, and things drastically begin to turn, there's really two things that happen. In the beginning, people go along with it and they grumble and they complain, and that's the first step of what I will call pre-revival. The second step is when it goes too far, and everyone knows when it goes too far, because something will happen like this with the Easter statement that will be, to give a poker analogy, someone showing their hand, right? And the moment they show your hand and you see five aces in their hand, you realize they're cheating. It's at that moment where the pain level meets the expectation level, and people are motivated to do something. And quite frankly, Christians around the world, we've just been lazy. We've not been motivated enough. There's not been enough pain. So God allows the enemy to bring suffering, trials, and tribulations, and we're supposed to consider it pure joy because it shows us the gap between us and God and how far we've come in our compromise. So to answer your question, Perry, I think we are on the verge of the greatest revival since the days of the disciples. I really believe that, because we are on the verge of the greatest pain that we're about to experience. There's a lot of crazy things happening. We have a war that's escalating in the Middle East. We've got, and I released a documentary on the solar eclipse. It's become the most watched video out there on how it relates to prophecy and the insane things that's happened in the past. Every time these things have happened, we are potentially on the cusp of some not so good times. And that means that we're on the cusp of some of the best spiritual times out there. And believers today need to be ready to learn how to share the gospel. We have people that are writing our ministry, getting saved just from a solar eclipse video. Mm-hmm. So people need to be ready. Christians need to be ready and equipped to do the work of the ministry.
Yeah. Thousands of people got baptized after seeing the initial release of Bill Robertson's film.
Right.
And they came out and go, if they can save a drunk like him, they can save me. And they jumped in and got baptized.
Amen.
But, you know, but there's another part to this, Jim, that's so interesting, is to stay on the theme that we are responsible. Psalm is very careful to say here, if the foundations are being destroyed, and they are, here's the question, what will the righteous do? Doesn't that put that back into our camp?
It absolutely does. And the best example that comes to my spirit right now is Phineas. So there's a story out of the Bible where there is a plague that is happening to Israel because they had married the Moabites, and the whole story, they got tricked. by King Balak and Balaam and all of that. And Balaam came up with a great idea. Hey, if you want to curse the Israelites, get them to marry these very attractive women, because that's against their law. And God will automatically, they'll automatically curse themselves. Will that happen? And then all of a sudden, no one did anything. People are dying by the tens of thousands. And one guy who was not qualified, he absolutely did something illegal, but he took a spear, went all the way to the temple, and he killed, went right through, struck both the lover and the Reubenite, and God was so overwhelmed by the shock that someone finally did something that God chose to stop the plague that was happening to Israel. And I just suggest we're in a plague right now, but people don't see it. It's a drought of the Word of God. It's a drought of the power of God. If anybody has to ask if God exists, that means we're not doing our job. They're not seeing it. Mm. And someone's got to stand up with a Phinehas atmosphere, attitude, with that spiritual spear to stop this plague. And if it's not us, who will it be? God doesn't have a plan B. We're it.
I walked away from the NRB this year with a question in my mind, and I'm still processing it. So forgive me if I'm asking it wrong, but I think it makes a point. Has there been a silent divorce between the Word and the Spirit to the point we are no longer believing in miracles?
Oh, without a doubt. The reason why we're no longer believing in miracles is because we're no longer seeing miracles. I did a conference last year. It was on during the Feast of Tabernacles, and we had 500 people camping out for a week in southern Missouri. And there were people that came in there that had never seen a miracle, never seen a healing, never seen anything in the supernatural. And nobody wanted to leave, because we saw so many miracles, so many healings, so many supernatural things, that people were giving their life to Christ and there was no invitation given. And that's where we're at. The question of questioning miracles is simply because we, as the people of God, are not in alignment with God, and God does not pour his power through those that are not in alignment. We have to be in his image. So again, this is like the point of my ministry, is to help do an audit, say, what are we doing? What has been added to our church over the last 1800 years? That's the doctrine and tradition of men that's choking out the power of God, because the world is supposed to see us and go, whatever they got, I want it. And we're just not quite there yet. But I pray that we're getting dangerously close to stepping out and begin to do Bible things in Bible ways. Go back to the beginning and let the Holy Spirit do his job. He does it wonderfully.
Oh, Pastor, you're amazing. Can we get you back? I only have you for one segment. Love to have you back. And let me say to our viewers and listeners, passionfortruth.com is his website, and you can check that out, passionfortruth.com. Pastor Staley there. We'd love to have you back. Thank you, friend.
Absolutely. Thank you for having me, Perry. Great show.
All right. God bless.
Thank you for listening to this week's Focus Today podcast. Remember, you can visit our website to check out all the interviews we did this week on our daily Focus Today TV show at thedove.us. And if you like this podcast, please take a moment to rate us and share it with your friends.